Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, the podcast about jujitsu and so much more. I'm Jen Eads, a blue belt full of curiosity and questions about jujitsu.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jujitsu black belt obsessed with jujitsu.
That's hard to follow. I'm Elena Reeves. I'm a jiu-jitsu black belt and co-owner of Vital Combat Team in Beaver Creek, Ohio, and also obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
Elena, thanks for joining us today. We're very excited to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here, talk to you guys about random things and jiu-jitsu, which are like my favorite two things. So
exactly. Randomness and jiu-jitsu. That pretty much describes the podcast.
Pretty much. Yeah. So let's start with a random Facebook post because, you know, I might have been on your Facebook doing my very in-depth interview prep. So we're just going to start with one of the latest posts. I thought it was so interesting. Talk about how you view competition versus collaboration in the jiu-jitsu world.
From a competitor perspective or from business owner perspective?
Both.
Okay. I feel like it's probably the same answer across the board. But I think one of our missions, my husband and I, when we started this school, was to try to change kind of the tone in the area, you know, to try to change like how people see other businesses that are doing jiu-jitsu, right? We try to really interact in our community and we try to make friends. Like we train with a lot of local school owners and we, you know, we really make an effort to not have this really hard, like, it's you versus us type of mentality. And I think that's been the jiu-jitsu culture for so long. And I think, you know, it had a bit of gang culture. And I think that was just like the origin of it, you know, and then it moved into the US and then just always kind of a you versus us type of thing. And I just don't think that's where we are anymore. I think we're a widely respected sport. You know, we have this governing body of jiu-jitsu now, like, I mean, depending on which side of the fence you're on, but pretty much ADCC or IBJJF, like there's structure here. There's potential to make jiu-jitsu very mainstream. If it's not already mainstream, I mean, I would consider it borderline mainstream at this point. But if we're going to continue to grow our sport, you know, it has to be treated like something that can be professional, right? It has to be treated like something that's going to be able to, we're going to be able to manage it. We're going to be able to provide rankings. We're going to be able to have safe spaces for like women and not older people, but you know what I'm saying? Like masters athletes all the way up to, you know, you could do jiu-jitsu your whole entire life if we treat it the right way and making these things accessible. It's like, it changes the direction of our sport. And we just don't want to participate anymore in any sort of, you know, a lot of places will be like, no politics. I'm like, that's, you're engaging in the drama by screaming no drama. And, you know, you're still involving in the, so like, I don't want to continue to speak on it in that way. We just try to like set the tone in the way that we treat our other business owners in the area and collaborating with like other strong people. So like, for me, it's really important that I collaborate with strong women like you guys, you know, in the sport, just to kind of put the best foot forward, I guess, you know, just to like show people that, you know, this is what people are doing in real life. Like at the top, people are collaborating, and that sounds cheesy, but that's true. And I didn't realize it until I started competing more and doing more. And I was like, oh, that's the secret. That's what people are actually doing that are really successful. They're really searching out others that are good in their field and, you know, others that are good at what they do. And, you know, you always have a bit of something on the other side. No matter where you are, there's just people with different types of culture in the sport, but we're doing our best to stay above it. You know, we've had some stuff happen, but, you know, we're just trying to keep our heart and our mind in the right place. But same thing with competition. I think as the athlete perspective, these women in our sport, they're not our competitors. I mean, they are our competitors for what, you know, 5 minutes or what, you know, of our life. But I think I've learned so much from my peers and people I didn't realize that were going to be my peers. Like I came up with people from white belt, and you guys will know this because I think being a woman is weird like that because you pretty much compete against the same group, like, you know, 20 years or so. Because there's not many of us, right? So my peers that like I started competing with at white belt, you know, they're now black belts. And I have learned so much from them. You know, I feel like I just started learning jiu-jitsu at black belt, honestly. Like I'm just now able to grasp it, but it's just been really cool. And I think that is the difference. And that's the difference in success. And I hope that we can, you know, kind of convey that message to our members by, you know, not just what we're saying, but just with our actions. So I think it's pretty much the same across the board, but yeah.
That's something that, like, you know, like our very first rash guards for Role Model Camp said, "Not your competition" on the back, and you people would wear them to compete in, which was kind of funny. But, you know, it's that same thing. I would try to tell everyone, like, we may compete against each other in a tournament, but we're not competing against each other in life. We are collaborating. We help each other get better. And that's always been kind of one thing that's really stood out to me about you is, like, I just feel like you're really trying to help rise the tide, right? I always look at you like you're going to ask questions. You're going to, you know, try to improve yourself to help try and improve your students and whoever, you know, you're teaching at the time. And I just, I've really admired that.
I appreciate that. I'm constantly asking questions, so I know that. I don't know everything because I'm a black belt. I swear.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Anyway.
For me, I always say, like, I love questions. I love when my students ask questions. It's one of my favorite parts of my job because it makes me use my brain. Because sometimes I can be like, I don't know that. And sometimes it's like, let's try it. Let's see how that works. And it's like, oh, no, don't do that.
I'm like, wait, hold on a second. Do it to me. Okay. No, don't do that again.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to work. I think I'm going to do this to you and that's going to be a problem. So I think that's really awesome. I think that's that collaborative in my observation and, you know, building my own women's team. But I think that collaborative mentality is kind of what has helped our women's team grow. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, how you've grown? You've got a huge women's team. I see your women's only classes and there's, you know, 20 some women in there. Like, tell us how you got to that spot.
Tears and stress and all the fun things. No, but seriously, like, I don't know. I think the recipe is, like, not just one thing. I think it's so many things. I think just general things that are very obvious. Like, I think having women in leadership, just in general, emphasizes that women have value. And I think that is seen and it's understood across the board when you have women that are teaching, like, not just kids' classes. They're not an assistant coach teaching 5-year-olds because nobody else wants to teach. You know what I mean? Like, actual leadership positions where opinions are valued and, you know, the teaching, like, co-ed classes and, you know, running parts of a program. And I don't know how you guys structure it, but, like, we have multiple programs in the school. So we kind of have people that kind of oversee, you know, obviously it's Dave and I, because, you know, we run the business, but we all kind of oversee our own program in a way, you know what I mean? So it's like having women in those types of roles. Like, our coaching staff is 50-50, male and female. So we have women as program leads, and then our assistant coaches, I'm sorry, I say assistant, but, like, our, they lead their own classes, but they don't structure their own curriculum, you know, like that type of thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have women that are in those roles also. So it's not just like, I'm me, you know, I'm special. I'm me because I, you know, I own the business and I run all the things. Like, it's not, you know, that's not the tone. It's like, these women bring a lot of value to combat sports. And I think it's kind of enforced by male leadership too. Yes. And I think that's, like, a secret thing that it's hard to talk about, because I think I am one of those people where I'm like, I don't need men to validate me. You know, but I, in a way, it's like the men in our space really, really, I don't know. They hold the space for women too. And that's enforced. I think that comes from my husband down. Like, he's such a girl dad. It's crazy. And he's such a great man, but he's such a girl dad. He's like, girl power. I'm like, calm down. but he really, I think, sets that tone. And then the other men in leadership, you know, follow, and they kind of the rise to that. And that's another piece of that recipe, that the men support what we're doing. We have women in leadership roles. We are absolutely relentless in the pursuit of women when they come in. We're like, hi, be our friend.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't care. You know, at some point you'll do jiu-jitsu, but we really try to involve every woman that comes in the room. Like, we want to know them, and we want them to know that it's a safe space. And whether or not you do jiu-jitsu, you're not on the outside of the clique or the inside of the clique, either way, because that's something that we don't allow. So it's like, we just, as soon as people come in, we're like, hi, nice to meet you. Tell us your life story. And, you know, we just try to welcome people. And I think that creates a, I don't know, like it makes it less intimidating because combat sports are so scary. Yeah. And then you see like our group and it's huge and you have color belts and you have white belts. And I mean, a huge percentage of them are competitors. Like I have very few that don't compete. And so I think that is a level of scary too. Like, yeah, it's a women's class, but we're not knitting and giggling. And I think, so we're creating like a very welcoming environment in that aspect, but also, sorry, there's a lot of pieces, but like, we're not knitting and giggling and we're like, not like, you know, just like kicking our feet and you know, like we're training. And I think that's something too, where I've even had men say, cause they'll, you know, they'll visit like, oh, you guys are really training. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I think women, you know, they're in the right mindset. Like they want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of a team. It's not, we don't have a few girls show up and then they're like, they get that corner of the mat. And then, you know, we take a bunch of pictures of them and put them online. It takes effort. It takes so much effort. It also takes, I think another piece of the 20,000 pieces is that we allow time on the schedule to where there's a full women's program. So there's 3 days a week. So whether, I mean, that might not be enough for a competitor, but like if you're a hobbyist, you're casually training or whatever, that's a full program. So you can train like enough to get hooked and enough to fulfill like your training, you know, your training cup or whatever, like in the women's program. And I think then that allows growth. And then people, as they're more confident, go out into our co-ed classes. So then our co-ed classes are very mixed also. So our women are not confined to one space. They're all across the school in every single class in Muay Thai. We have female leadership in our Muay Thai program. So we have them in striking. We have them in MMA, like it's across the board. So again, very long-winded, but there's so much. Like I said, it's not just being like, oh, we have a women's class. It's 1 day a week on a time slot that nobody wants.
Good luck. You said that, you know, you don't need the validation from a man. That's not what it is. But I do think that we teach people how to treat us. And I think people in leadership roles also teach other people how to treat us, right? So it's not that we necessarily need the validation, but some guy off the street might need that, right? Mm-hmm. Like he might need to see, and the community acts as the community acts. So if he comes in and he sees, oh, we respect the women here, then he's more likely to do the same.
They're like, oh, we do that. Yeah, we do that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So the environment, I understand. How do you get them to come in to begin with then?
We're like, please sit with us. Please hang out with us. And then eventually, if you want to do jiu-jitsu with us, we would love that. But we talk to, like, we don't create our marketing to target specifically women. We just, you know, do general programs and things and like our ads. And when people come in, a lot of the time, women, just because the role we play, they'll be bringing in, you know, their kids, or they'll come in and watch their husbands, or, you know, they're like, there's something there. And now we do have women that come pursue combat sports. We have that side too. But a lot of our people who have turned into competitors are parents of our women's our kids program. Our kids program is really thriving, and we have a great group of kids. But I mean, out of that population of kids, it's like their whole entire family is training. It's usually not just, you know, they drop the kid off some cases, but for the majority, it's like mom, dad, and sibling. And, you know, the women will sit there and watch classes. And what we did to kind of help this was like our kids class runs at 5:30. Well, our women's class also runs at 5:30. So a lot of our talk track is like, you're sitting here for an hour and a half doing nothing. And sometimes they'll be like, I'll go out in my car and read a book. I'm like, that cannot be fulfilling. Like, I'm like, what about violence? That sounds fun.
Reading? Bill. Yeah. You're trying to be educated.
I'm like, dumb. Anyway.
What if you had to choke someone instead?
And so I try to be like, yeah, just come try a class. You know, see if you like it. And if you don't like it, you know, no harm, no foul. But You're sitting here for an hour and a half anyway. If you want to do something, we're here for it.
When they, if they're kind of nervous like that, do you change up the class at all? Or are they coming into kind of that harder training that your women's team is known for?
I think it's about who you place people with the first few classes. That's a game changer. So I try not to let, if someone is brand new, and this is just for co-ed classes and for everybody, but I try to take what I know about a person and connect them with someone that I think they will kind of be okay talking to. And, you know, they might not be best friends. Like, it's not their, I don't know, their groomsmen or whatever. But like in the future, it's, you know, they just might have something to click with, yeah. You know, like a veteran or something like that, I guess is my point, you know. But I try to connect them with somebody that I feel like will, you know, first of all, they represent our values. And I think, I mean, 99.9% of people in our school align with our values across the board. You might have a few that are like, I'm here to rage. I'm here to absolutely destroy everybody, you know, everyone that stands in front of me. I'm here to win every round, you know, yeah. Which we have a bit of that too. But I think everyone at the school has a good gauge for this is not the time. Which I think also helps grow our women's program. But yes, anyway,
yeah.
So I try to find someone that just generally has a decent personality to welcome somebody. And I don't deem them a teacher permanently because that can damage the culture also. If you keep assigning new people to the same person, you're taking away from that person sometimes and you're kind of giving them an unpaid job, you know, and I don't think it's fair to that person. So I do a different person every single time. I pair them with somebody they click with. And somebody that's safe. So somebody that's advanced enough to where if this person is a lot, you know, they can safely handle that. And if this person is very timid, it's okay. They're going to be able to match that energy. After the first few classes, it's less terrifying. And then I let them pretty much, you know, like mingle and find somebody. But it's that safety of the first few classes. I feel like that's the make or break, especially for the women's program, because men will sometimes be like, it's like a torn ACL. I'll be fine. And I'm like, okay. I don't think women are like, this is too violent. I'm, you know, 90% of us were like, we're very smart. We're very analytical. And we're like bodily harm, bad. You know, yeah. We try to keep it safe for the first few.
So you've been to role model camp how many times? Do you know?
I want to say four.
Four? Okay. I know you did our competition camp that was one of our like quote unquote white belt camps, but really is all levels. So you brought a team to that as well. But I've, you know, like I've also gotten to do some camps with you at Rachel's and at your gym. And I feel like you and I and, you know, Rissa and Rachel are just like this traveling group yeah. that just kind of get together. And obviously there's several other women in that, but we've gotten to collaborate a lot together. And I think it was a couple of years ago, we were like, Elena's on deck to teach. Like, we know that here in a couple of years. So it's actually the first time we've ever announced an instructor for the following year at camp. Because I was like, we got to tell them now. And I know that like, you're such a light that you, that I knew people would be excited. They'd be like, oh, that girl. Okay, great.
Not like, oh, that girl.
I know. Oh, God. Are you sure? Honestly, too, like for us, being a role model is one of the most important things, right? I need to know that, you know, like you can command a room and that you have good jujitsu, but I need to know that like your vibe is right. Yeah. And I think that's like why we've like kind of focused more on the homegrown kind of role models, the ones that are mm-hmm. there and participating and being a part of the community. Because there are, you know, tons of other instructors and lots of black belts that contact me and they're like, I want to teach at your camp. And I'm like, I don't know you. I mean, I may have seen your jujitsu. I may have seen you compete, but I don't know that you're the kind of person that's going to fit well in our group. And I knew you were, right? Also, a little story. I'm pretty sure it was last year. Could have been the year before. But there was a girl at camp who, you know, I believe was on a scholarship. She had one gi and, you know, was just kind of definitely struggling financially to be able to do jujitsu, to be able to be there. And we always try to help in any way we can. But Elena's girls were like, we're all going to pitch in and buy her a gi. Aww. And I just remember just like sobbing. Like, it was just so touching. These girls did not know this woman. They just, I'm tearing up now.
Don't make me cry.
I know, right? But that's just your heart, right? And it is one of those, it's the culture you've built. So all of your women were instantly like, yep, I'll throw in. And that was just like, it's all of that that made me so excited to have you as one of our instructors for Role Model Camp this year. I'm done tearing up now.
Yeah, I was like, don't make me cry. I was like, you keep talking. Okay, go.
Yeah, you talk. You keep going. But no, I just really appreciate you. And I'm so excited to get to learn more from you. I've obviously gotten to learn from you a couple times. But do you know what the role models can look forward to at camp? What do you know what you're going to teach or anything yet?
I'm really torn because I have 100 things.
I get that.
And every day we talk about something else. I'm like, maybe I could teach that at camp. And I feel like it's hard to teach the white belts and black belts, right? You have to teach something that's going to be valuable across the board. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want that to be too much for a white belt that's just here for the vibes. But, you know, I also want black belts to take something away. So I'm very torn. I will take requests, though. And people awesome. Comment on the, well, I guess they can, right? They can comment.
Yeah. If you guys Spotify like, and YouTube comment, and
comment something that you want to see. And maybe I can make like a, kind of like conglomerate of things and like maybe teach a sequence of something that touches on different things. I don't know, but I've been thinking about it a lot. So if there's something you guys want to think about and you guys want to study some more, even if it's like a concept or something, that'd be cool. Excellent. But I'm really excited to be there with you guys and just be with some like-minded people that just want to be better.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like I will say that is one kind of different thing about Role Model Camp 2 in comparison to a lot of the other big camps that I've attended is that there will be 15 to 20 black belts on the mat. It is a thing where like somebody coming in to teach, first of all, most black belts, man, woman, non-binary, most black belts will never teach in front of a size that size or an audience that size, right? Like I'm not trying to make you nervous. I'm sorry.
I was like, holy crap, that's a lot of people. One day I just set up like, I was like, what am I doing? I hate public speaking, by the way.
It's not public speaking. It's just jiu-jitsu. It's fine.
It's totally different.
Because I was like, I hate public speaking. And I just had that realization. There's 300 people there. What am I doing? Anyway, it'll be fine.
But that is, you know, like you do have to kind of think, okay, can I throw in a little fancy something? But I also think a lot of them, one, are coming for the vibes, right? Like they're coming to, you know, just get to be a part of the event and a part of the community. But also they're learning from how you teach, how you say words, how you command the room. And, you know, are you prepared for what questions might come up, stuff like that. And I think what one of the major things black belts get out of coming, I'm running the show, so I can tell you what I'm getting out of it. But like for you, like in the past, you said you've been to 4 camps, which have all the camps you've been at have been black belt, right? Maybe brown.
Yeah.
So what kept you coming as such a high rank person?
So many pieces, but like, I think it's really important for our team, like my women, they're going to go where I go. They're going to do what I do and not that I have that much influence, but you know what I'm saying? Right. They're going to invest in themselves in a similar way. And I just want them to see that jiu-jitsu is for everybody. It's not a body fat type of thing. It's not a young, it's not a, I don't have to be athletic. I don't have to, but coming from me, I look one way and sound one way and act one way, but I'm not a representation of jiu-jitsu as a whole. So I want them to just see that jiu-jitsu is for every single body.
Yeah.
Like it looks different. Some of the most talented women I've ever known, they don't, like when you say, oh, they're an athlete, you think of a CrossFit chick. I swear everybody does, right?
Yeah.
And you look at this person and you're like, they don't look like that at all, but they are dangerous. And I wanted my women to see that man, it's so crazy. I mean, just people are so different looking, and I just wanted them to be able to connect with other people in the community that look like them. And I wanted them to have that representation in what their ideal athlete is. I don't want someone to say that an ideal athlete's a you know, feather or lightweight, tiny black belt, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want everyone to feel connected to that. And so that, but also the fact that everyone is there. And like you said, they're all teaching something different, but I really have taken something away from each person, even if it's not, maybe it might not be a technique that's like brand new to me, but just the way, like, I went to Dom's camp. Mm-hmm. Dominica, I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the way she communicates with people, because I think that changed the way I teach a lot. Just being myself.
Yeah.
She's just herself, and it's just raw. And it's just like, well, this is what it is. And this works for my body type. I remember her saying that this works for my body type. It's not going to work for your body type. And I'm like, oh, we can say that. I love it.
It's okay.
And
yeah.
It just shapes, you know, like how we're communicating with each other. And the people at the very top are saying, like, this might not be the way, but this is the way that works for me and the way I am built. And this something might, you know, something else might work for you. So I think that's really shaped me a lot. But just taking away from how people are delivering information. Sometimes it's not even information.
Yeah. That's how I feel too. It's just like getting to witness the other instructors and how they run things and teach things and all of that. I think it's really important. Jen's going to kill me if we don't start wrapping this up, because she said 30 minutes. Yeah. Jen, do you have any news for us that you would like to share?
Just that I'm taking a little short sabbatical for the summer. And Risser, the other Jen, the Jennifer.
our sit-in Jen.
Yeah.
You just swap Jens and like you expect no one to notice.
Like, pretty much. Yeah. It'll be great.
She'll just suddenly know all of the names of all the famous people in jujitsu. That's
yeah. And actually know jujitsu. I mean,
well, you know,
I'm calling it an up level. Y'all are getting an up level for the summer. Yeah. And then I'll be back like in September. Or whenever. Excellent. Maybe we'll see. Not like we'll see that if we'll I come see. Back. I just meant like we'll see when. That's when. What I yes. meant. Yes. Yes.
So Beauty and the Gi is not taking a sabbatical. It's not taking a hiatus. We will still be, I will still be here. Beauty and the Gi will still be here. It'll just be Risser and I doing the podcast for a few months.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Elena, where can people find you?
You can find my school if you guys want to come train. Everybody's welcome to come train whenever. We love having visitors. You can find my school at Vital Combat on Instagram. I think that's the easiest way. And you can find me through that page because my name is really hard to spell.
Great. Also, you have a couple of in-house tournaments coming up. So if anyone's kind of local to this Midwest area, can you give us the dates and information on that real fast?
So we are having some in-house events at our school just to kind of help that feeling of community and that, you know, that vibe in our area. We are having a women's open. We previously did a women's invitational and it was one of the biggest women's turnouts like I've seen. And I couldn't even tell you how long we had white through brown belts and every division had, you know, plenty of women at each age, but we've got the novice open, which is happening this weekend. So too late to do that. Next one that's coming up would be July 19th. And that's the Vital Women's Open. So if you guys want to go to our Instagram page, you can register there. It's pretty low cost. So we give everybody a chance to kind of compete at a reasonable rate, but yeah, let us know if you have any questions. I'd love to have you guys.
Excellent. Thanks. Jen, where can they find us?
We are hanging out on Instagram at Beauty and the Gi Podcast. I'm also there at Brassy Broad Jen and also on the TikTok at Brassy Broad Jen.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, everywhere you go, except TikTok, where I'm role_model.
All right, friends, thanks for tuning in and we will see you
on the mat.